The United Church of Christ is a 501c3 non-profit corporation or entity. Union Congregational United Church of Christ in Salmonok is a non-profit corporation. And one of the benefits that non-profit corporations get are tax-exempt status. Don't have to pay taxes. And there's a trade-off. Nonprofit corporations don't pay taxes, and they agree not to endorse political candidates. Pure and simple. It's a trade-off. Sometimes I hear people talking about you're not allowed to say from the pulpit, you know, endorse a candidate or not endorse a candidate or anything like that. And actually, it's not quite true. Any church is allowed to revoke their tax-exempt status and say whatever they want about whatever candidate from the pulpit, but they can't be tax exempt. So there's a trade-off there. It's not a freedom of speech issue. It's just, hey, we don't endorse political candidates in the church. One, because it makes people uncomfortable, because there are people on all different political parties here in the church and in Christ's church. There are people that disagree on things. But another, because we're tax exempt and it's the trade-off that we have to do that. Maybe the law will change someday, but that's the way that it is and has been since the 1950s when the tax-exempt stuff was worked out. But so, with all that in mind, I wonder if you've decided whose side you're on in the upcoming elections. I'm not talking actually about who you're going to vote for or even where you stand on any of the issues that many are discussing with each other and arguing with each other and is all over talk radio. I'm not even talking about being fed up with the electoral process so much that you're not going to vote. Or you're appalled at anyone who wouldn't vote in the election, even though they might be fed up with the electoral process, because everyone should vote. I'm not talking actually about any of that. I'm wondering if you decided whether you're on the side of the ones who need justice or the ones who do not. And maybe that's pretty politically charged, even a statement there. And before that, though, it turns into a debate about the word justice, because we've heard that all over the place. And the word justice gets mixed in with things like, fairness, revenge, socialism, evil. I mean, you hear all those kinds of terms mixed together in different perspectives from different people. Let me pose the question this way. Have you decided if you're one who is in need of justice because you've been oppressed, or you're in need of justice because you have been the oppressor? I think that everyone falls into both categories at some time or another, in one way or another. We've had all this talk about bullying lately in the news media, and you know how awful bullying can be, yet the response to bullying is often rearing up your shoulders and say, I saw something that said, if you bully, you've got a problem with me. And that doesn't make any sense at all. It's like, if you bully, I'm going to bully you back. So I'm going to do exactly what shouldn't be done and what I'm saying not to do. All of us at one time or another have been on both sides of this oppression and or oppressing. This week's reading has some sides to it. Some people think that this week's reading goes like this. No matter what side you're on, if you nag God enough, you will get what you want. I've heard people say it often. The widow represents one side, us, and the judge represents the other side, God. I've heard people say that. And I've also heard people say it doesn't really matter what side you're on, God has either chosen you or not. So, you know, what do you got to worry about? And actually, all three of those, I said them out loud, and someone could quote me. They could take a recording of the sermon and say, he said that, but let me just go back and say, I reject all three of those things that I've heard people say. I don't think that they are correct, and I don't think that they reflect what the Bible is saying. For instance, God doesn't do stuff because we nag. God really doesn't do stuff because we pray harder than someone else. God does stuff because God does stuff. This is what God does. Jesus told people to pray and to not lose heart. And Jesus also taught people how to pray. Remember, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You could think all the way back to the children's sermon. just right there. Or you could look back at what we say every week. You could look back at what we have said so many times. You could look back and say, this is what Jesus was about. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Not my will, but yours be done, O God. We're supposed to pray for God's will, not ours. So God doesn't do stuff because we nag. And someone might say, but wait a minute, I prayed over and over and over and over and over again, and it happened. So therefore, God must do stuff because I nagged enough. No, God does stuff because God does stuff. The widow in today's reading, really, if the widow's going to represent someone, you could say represents us, but really the widow represents any who are voiceless or forsaken. See, widows in the New Testament were completely dependent on others for their care, for everything that they needed to live. They were mostly forgotten. Even the word, even the Greek word, or the Hebrew word for widow, almana, it has this idea of silence. They were the silent ones. They didn't have a voice. However, this widow, in today's reading, wouldn't have any of that. She was not a silent one. She was one that kept knocking on the door of the unjust judge to ask for justice. And in her sense, I think that the justice is, it's not, I don't know if it's fairness. We don't know what the issue was, but it sounds like she's knocking on the door, grant me justice against my opponent. It's almost like she's asking for revenge. I want that person to get what's coming to them. Grant me justice against someone who has wronged me. Too often when we look at justice, we think of revenge. And I don't think it's the right way to do it. We think of justice as the gavel coming down and somebody gets punished. We can look at justice as fairness, where everyone has enough, where we find a way so that people will have enough food to eat and shelter. And everyone would have a chance to be loved. I mean, that's justice, right? God isn't unjust like the unjust judge in there. And Jesus even spells that out. Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will God, who is not unjust, grant justice to those chosen ones who cry to him day and night? God cares for the poor. It's evident in the Bible. The Beatitudes have it. The Old Testament, the New Testament, it's woven so through there. God cares for the poor. God cares for the exploited, the outcast, the widow, the orphan, the persecuted, the rejected, the forgotten, the wrongly accused, the marginalized. God cares for all. God really has a special place for all of these wrongly accused, persecuted, rejected, marginalized. And God's desire, talked about this several times, is that the whole world would be saved. After John 3:16, the famous verse, God did not send his Son into the world so that the world might be, what was the word? Condemned, but that so him, it might be saved. And in John 10, Jesus talks about that I am the good shepherd. And at one point he says, there are many who are not in the flock, but this is so that they will all be one flock. It's like Jesus is saying, I want everyone. And really, if God wants everyone, God gets what God wants. That's the cool thing about God. God just, you know, God wants it. God gets it. God doesn't fail. There's that part in there, will he not grant justice to his chosen ones? That question has been debated and argued and not settled for ages about this chosen. Who are God's chosen ones? Who are, if there are chosen ones, then there are obviously unchosen ones, is kind of the way it goes. But let me step out on a limb with this one and go not outside of theology, but let me go just kind of outside of that simple question into something that's maybe more simple, maybe more difficult. God creates, right? God forgives. God loves. God has chosen, is choosing, and will choose whom God creates, forgives, and loves. And who has God created? Are you sure? Everyone. Who does God forgive? Everyone. Who does God love? Name an exception. No exceptions. Today's reading ends with a phrase. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith here on earth? Kind of brings up, like, are God's children always praying? What does that mean? How can one pray all the time? I said constant in here during the children's sermon. And you're thinking, how can you pray constantly? How can you always pray? And we can't. We can't always pray. I mean, if you prayed all the time, you would never concentrate on anything else, right? And you have to drive. I know you can pray while you drive, but please don't close your eyes. But, I mean, when you're eating, you know, God, thank you for this second bite of hamburger. I don't think that people do that. So it's not like this literal pray without ceasing. It's an attitude almost. Anyone can pray and act and live in a way that reflects the love and care that God gives to us and asks us to give to all. It's being open to what God says to us and talking to God. It's like breathing. We breathe constantly because if we don't breathe, we die, right? And so think of prayer like that. It's something that just, it happens when we're listening, when we're trusting, when we're talking. It's like breathing. When we're always on the lookout for opportunities to love God and to love everyone, those two big things that we are called to do, and we're always on the lookout for ways to help a brother or sister in need, it's a lot like praying always. It's a lot like that breathing that we're doing. Praying and acting, they're kind of woven together with each other, aren't they? When we pray, you know, we it's dangerous when we pray because God might ask us to do what we're praying for, right? And then it gets done. I know that God can do anything. But this praying and action. Roger, you've said it once before. Give your prayers legs. Right? Yeah. I don't think God is upset when we give our prayers legs. It's not like saying, I'm taking this into my own hands. It's acting to the call that God has to be a loving presence in the world. To love God and to love everyone. And we act when we do that. God doesn't love us more or less when we act. It doesn't earn us any points that will get us into heaven when we act. It is just a response to what God has done. We pray and we act because that's what God calls us to do. Maybe we consider this. Christians agree and disagree on things, right? People of all faiths or no faith agree and disagree on things. You know, I think it's possible that there are more ways to be right than simply boiling it down to yes or no, right or left, up or down, Democrat or Republican. You know, there's more to it than that. There are more ways to help than simple this or that. There are more ways to love than simple this or that. God made it so that we can think, and everyone here can think, and everyone in this town can think, and everyone in our state, everyone in our country, everyone in the world can think. God also made it so that we can act. Everyone can act. God made it so that we can pray, so we can all pray. We can think, we can act, we can pray. So let's pray always, keeping that attitude there. Now, 3 years ago, I preached this passage. How many of you were here 3 years ago? You remember, right, like 3 years ago, I remember when Kirk talked about prayer from Luke 18, right? Anyone? Anyone? Well, I ended it, you're going to remember now, because I ended it with a bit of beat poetry. Coming back now, I snap my fingers. You remember now? Okay, it's time for us to remember again, because I am going to do this little bit of beat poetry to remind us to pray and to act. You ready? Do you remember now? No? Well, we'll see what happens. Pray. Pray relentlessly. Pray relentlessly and boldly. Ask God for justice. Do you want to snap your fingers too? Will it help? Pray. Even if the world may not care about justice, take on the world. Pray. Pray relentlessly. Pray relentlessly and boldly. Ask God for justice. Even if the world may not care about justice, take on the world. And be encouraged that God is listening and responding. Pray. act. Act relentlessly. Act relentlessly and boldly. Ask God for justice. Act. Even if the world may not care about justice, take on the world. Act. Act relentlessly. Act relentlessly and boldly. Ask God for justice. Even if the world may not care about justice, take on the world and be encouraged that God is listening and responding. Act and pray always. Amen.